Welcome to the Pharma Forum podcast. In this episode, I spoke with Tommy Bramley, SVP of Market Access and Healthcare Consulting at Cencora. We were live on site at Reuters Pharma Europe in Barcelona, so there is a little background noise to this one, but it can help you appreciate the buzz that this event holds each year in whichever global pocket it takes place throughout each 12 months. Tommy and I discuss his panel from the first day and how the European pharmaceutical landscape can be revitalised and legislation leveraged for health and competitiveness, and indeed, Cencora's work around these. Transformation and innovation are key points in this recording and in the takeaways from Reuters itself to be had. Indeed, change is veritably in the air, timely and necessary. Time will tell, however, and that time is not so far around the corner. Faster, higher quality, and elevation of processes for access for patients wherever their geography be, these are the foci for that road ahead. As ever, thank you for listening. This is web editor Nicole Rani, and today I am live on site at Reuters Pharma Europe in Barcelona. As guest, I have with me Tommy Bramley, SVP of Market Access and Healthcare Consulting at Cencora. Welcome, Tommy.
Thanks, Nicole. Great to talk with you again.
So Cencora is a global healthcare organization based near Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and is ranked number 11 on the Fortune 500 list, with more than $269 billion in revenue. Yesterday, when I was still in Brussels covering the Economist Impact Cell and Gene Therapy Summit, Tommy was moderating the Reuters panel here called Revitalize Europe's Pharmaceutical Landscape, Leverage Legislation for Health and Competitiveness. Now, legislation was certainly on the agenda in Brussels and has most definitely been a topic of serious conversation in Barcelona. But Tommy, I know, as you say, we've spoken before at Reuters and perhaps it will become a yearly event. However, I was wondering if to kick things off today, you could first tell listeners a little bit more about yourself and your journey to what you do today, your work with Cencora, to provide background to our chosen theme.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity to give a little background on my journey and the company journey. So last year when we spoke, I mentioned the PharmaLex acquisition, a very successful acquisition for us in many regards, a strong strategic fit and certainly a strong cultural fit. And what that's allowed us to do is put together a strong platform for manufacturers, for biopharma companies to use to develop their products, so accelerating the product lifecycle journey. We do that through integrated product development in very early phases, moving that into acceleration of market access and innovations to market, and then finally that focus on optimizing patient access. So we can do that through very early stages with our preclinical services. Oftentimes our regulatory affairs is a close follow. And then as products are moving through phase two into phase three, that's where my team gets involved. And so we look to understand the product profile. We want to make sure there's early engagement with payers to educate them in terms of the value offered, start to build that evidence base, and then pull that through into commercial success. So very, very strong connectivity between the teams, and very nice to come together as the Cencora brand. And we think of that as being central and core to healthcare, and view ourselves as a healthcare consulting company that that delivers optimized access and maximizing patient outcome.
Thank you for that. So this sort of core theme of optimizing patient access, this is something which is, you know, not arguably, but very much so central to everything that's done in pharma and healthcare. And when it comes to Europe's pharmaceutical legislation landscape, change is very much in the air towards this end. Indeed, the European Commission, or EC, and European Parliament have set out their proposals for a reformed EU pharmaceutical legislation that could substantially change the incentive ecosystem for the first time in 20 years. Incentivization is very much on the agenda this morning here at Reuters. And the EC stated in those discussions that its overarching objectives for a new pharmaceutical legislation are to guarantee a high level of public health by ensuring the quality, safety, and efficacy of medicinal products for EU patients, to harmonise, going towards that connectivity that you were talking about, the internal market for the supervision and control of medicinal products and the rights and duties incumbent upon the competent authorities of the member states, as well as to make sure all patients across the EU have timely and equitable access to safe, effective and affordable medicines. I could go on. You know what it's been putting out, Tommy. Perhaps you could comment upon those recent discussions.
Yeah, so a really nice panel yesterday getting into trying to strike that balance between rewarding and promoting innovation and at the same time ensuring there is access to affordable medications. And so that's kind of the dual purpose, or at least the goals of the legislative review. Central to that is the data protection. There was amendments suggesting that would be lowered from 8 years to 6 years. Now it's settled on 7.5 years with certain boosters available if you're meeting an unmet medical need. If you're doing R&D within Europe, you can add extensions to that data protection. That becomes very important in terms of manufacturers recouping their investments on innovation. So a successful launch is very important, as you have a shorter time window to recoup that investment. That's where we are directing our attention. We are thinking through different ways to accelerate that market access, ensuring there's optimized patient access and maximizing the health benefit achievable throughout Europe and throughout the world. And there's ways to do that in terms of faster time to market. Are there digital ways to accomplish that? We're starting to see real-world evidence used as a synthetic control arm when it may be unethical or impossible to recruit a control arm. So that's just one example where there's a convergence between real-world evidence and the regulatory process. The other area that we're focused on is removing that complexity or the guesswork out of launching in multiple countries. So if you want to reach as many patients as possible, launching in all of the EU member states is a goal. That was removed as a booster from the legislative review. But still something very important in terms of how we can help manufacturers get more product to the right patient. And so we can help them on the joint clinical assessment. That's an upcoming event in 2025. And then help them with the pricing, reimbursement, and evidence and submission packages across all of Europe and the rest of the world. Coming back to the discussion, it was interesting in terms of how to address drug shortages, so supply issues, different systems that could be harnessed to identify that early. One of the panel members was from a biosimilar company and a very positive agenda for generics and biosimilars in terms of how they can help address drug shortages and how they can help with affordability. So some interesting insights from the off-patent sector of the market, and certainly another area that we play into supporting biosimilars, supporting generic launches. So all in all, laudable goals in terms of promoting access, rewarding innovation. It'll be interesting to see the final legislations and how that comes together. But very good exchange. Nice to have the policy experts. Nice to have the patient voice. And nice to have our manufacturer partners as part of that panel discussion.
Yes, as you say, I mean, they involved EFPIA, the European Patients Forum, and Sandoz. And I was just wondering if you could perhaps tunnel down into any specific examples or takeaways from that panel that were raised by those you were in discussion with as to what is to be expected next within digitalization, within the real world evidence and synthetic control arms.
So one of the interesting aspects of the legislation is the electronic patient leaflet that can be provided to patients if it's a physician-administered product. So that certainly has environmental impacts. That could expand to other patient populations, other types of therapies. I think that could be an interesting development. Those boosters in terms of data protection with unmet medical need, doing comparative or looking at measurement of market access reach. I think that's an area we can certainly help manufacturers, help biopharma in terms of putting in those indicators, helping find those measurable performance indicators and the value being provided by the products. So once a product is on market, that's where we can start to do real world evidence, looking at how it's performing in broader patient populations. What are the outcomes? Are the benefits that you saw in a clinical trial environment indeed being seen in the wild, as you're using that across broader geographies, as you're using that across broader population types? And that's the confirmation in terms of the promise that you see in clinical trials. Are you seeing that benefit in the real world? And some nice data sets that we are able to use to do that confirmation of the clinical benefit and the health outcomes in a broader patient population.
Okay, so thinking about that sort of globalization, that global market access and your work with biopharma companies, when it comes to that commercial scene then, in today's ever-changing healthcare environment, can you share for us today, Tommy, what companies should consider maybe a bit more specifically when building their market access strategy and when that planning process should start?
Early. Starting as early as possible and generally getting engaged in that transition from phase two to phase three. At that point, there is typically a target product profile. It's been developed for regulatory purposes. We want to adapt and improve that in terms of what's needed from a HTA or a payer decision standpoint. So doing market research, looking into your value propositions, doing early economic modeling to establish your pricing corridors, where you see cost benefit, where you see cost effectiveness. We would recommend at that point that you're getting consultation. That can be joint scientific consultation where you're getting advice from EMA and HTA bodies, or it can be scientific advice, scientific guidance directly from HTA. Both are important in terms of where you have evidence gaps and where you need to develop a more robust evidence package. From then, we can start to highlight the disease burden. We can start to fill those evidence gaps through systematic literature reviews, through meta-analysis. Again, back to real-world evidence in terms of what is the standard of care, what are the outcomes currently achieved. That early engagement, phase two to phase three, is a very important time. And the earlier you can start to develop those commercial activities, the more successful launch that you'll have in reaching more patients.
Thank you. And you brought up the JCA earlier, the Joint Clinical Assessment. So with the EU HTA regulation, the implementation of the JCA in 2025, so the near horizon, what do biopharmaceutical companies need to do to prepare in that respect?
So that's almost here. So we're 9-10 months from the implementation. So any oncology product, any ATMP that would be launching in 2025, now is the start, is the time to start to develop those dossiers, starting to form the outline, starting to form the framework of information that will be submitted as part of that process. It is a new process, so that comes with some uncertainty, but we are staying very close to the policy. We're staying very close to the stakeholders to make certain that the information that we're putting together is what the JCA will need. PICO simulation is an important part of that in terms of what will be the comparator set. We have some nice tools put together to help pharma companies anticipate and prepare for the PICO simulation. It's going to be a new environment. It's an exciting environment, but an environment that is still shaping. So where we help organizations is certainly on the preparation of the submission, but on awareness and organizational readiness for that new joint clinical assessment. A lot of promise in terms of reducing redundancy, ensuring broader access across the EU member states. We want to make sure we're achieving those goals, that it does not become a redundant process and extends the timeline for access across the EU.
Yes, if we stick with these focal points of access, achieving goals, no redundant processes, if we think now of where we are at Reuters Pharma Europe Barcelona, Tommy, what have been thus far, we're only on day 2 of 3, your key takeaways this year? What's being spoken about the most outside of your panel, just on the scene?
Innovation, digital innovation. I don't think it's shocking to say that ChatGPT and AI and the benefits of those tools and those advancements and the disruption that can occur. That's an area we're very focused on in terms of how we can harness digital, how we can be tech elevated, and put those into our work processes. We're seeing some really good successes with AI-assisted literature searches. We're seeing some really good process in terms of how we exchange information between healthcare decision makers, payers, and pharma companies. So formularydecisions.com is an example of that, where we host information, clinical information, economic information, that payers go and retrieve that. We see that as something that would be developing in the European market, and doing some early pilots in terms of what that platform may look like. Also using ability with the ChatGPT and generative AI to say, how can we create faster, higher quality summaries of information that then could be used for submissions? Certainly there'll always be a human element to that. That's very important, but it is harnessing and elevating how we do our work through digital. So I would say that's a key theme permeating throughout the conference.
Thank you, Tommy. So faster, higher quality, and elevation of processes.
Exactly.
It's been a pleasure.
Thank you, Nicole.
And so that concludes another episode of the Pharma Forum podcast. You can find out more information about this episode, including a download link and information about previous installments of the series at pharmaforum.com/podcasts. The Pharma Forum podcast is also available on iTunes, Spotify, Acast, Stitcher, and Podbean, where you can find and subscribe by searching for Pharma Forum. Of course, don't forget to visit our website itself, where you can sign up for daily news and analysis bulletins, and follow us on Twitter, or X nowadays, at Pharma Forum. That's all for now. Thank you for listening.